Yeah, sure.
Finally, Tyvee brings Land on stage. San Francisco, the compere shouts. It's been a long time coming, but now finally, let's say a proper Nick Land acknowledgement.
Oh, wow.
The crowd bursts into applause at this repeated joke.
They got one joke.
Land, unaffected, takes questions from the audience, speaking densely and extemporaneously about Gnostic Calvinism, simulation theory, the inevitability of human death, the nature of cosmic despair. After about an hour, Tyvee turns to the audience and announces that a surprise guest will be joining the proceedings. Chest puff and an aviator's Curtis Yarvin, that other would-be rock star of the neo-reactionary scene, emerges from the crowd. For the record, I'm not wearing these because I'm trying to be cool, he clarifies. I'm wearing them because I lost my prescription.
Very uncool. Dude.
Curtis is looking good, I hear someone whisper. He must be back on Ozempic.
Keep going.
So apparently this is the first time either of them have met.
Wow.
True
meeting of the minds.
Kind of embarrassing for Yarvin because he like kind of styles himself as the new Nick Land.
Wow. Yeah, although it's interesting because I think he styles himself after New York Land because Mark Fisher devoted so much fucking writing space to both of them 10 years ago in a way that made them more serious than they probably ever should have been considered.
Oh, that was a mistake.
Mark Fisher wrote about Yarvin?
Oh, yeah. He worried about Mencius Moebug a lot.
Oh, okay.
So that's what he left us with. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
That was before we knew Yarvin was like writing under his own name. That was back when he was, you know, using ridiculous pseudonyms.
Yeah, and it was really stupid then, and it's really stupid now.
He's only got stupider now that he's on Twitter, and we can see that again. Yeah, he's just boomer. He's just a boomer poster.
Good IQ test if you meet someone who thinks Yarvin is smart.
Yeah, the shine is off the apple for sure.
Yarvin, true to his reputation for rambling, does most of the talking, while Land gives short one- or two-sentence answers or simply nods in quiet affirmation. One questioner asks if the pair still believes, even now, in this time of rightist triumph, that, quote, Cthulhu always swims left. An old neo-reactionary meme contending that society inevitably becomes more progressive over time, a kind of based reimagining of MLK's famous Arc of Justice. Land simply says no, and that he never said that. Well, Yarvin launches into a long-winded discursive answer, explaining the conditions under which is both true and false.
Oh, sure.
But clarifying that it's mostly usually true in an argument that touches upon the late Roman Republic and why it's incredible that in 1970s China, you had different factions of Red Guards killing people in the streets, just a bloody undeclared civil war, especially now that China is depoliticized. In fact, that's one true. Of the most depoliticized nations in history. Yeah, he's kind of spitting the ear.
Yeah.
They barely even thought about politics at all. And that in Rome, after the transition to empire, elections would be like a Monty Python pathetic farce, and that it's all like entropy or a rusted car or a car that needs to rust more, something like that. But that's really, he's just very curious about the Chinese. What's your take, Nick? He turns and asks. Well, there's a lot of stuff there, Land muses. Many in the crowd sigh. Why is Curtis like this? A young man whispers to his girlfriend. Why can't he stop talking? I know, she replies. It's giving Toy Story Woody and Buzz. Eventually, the audience grows restless, and the phones come out.
His writing is superb.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of wanted to read this because, like, the comment, because this is paywall, and so the comments on Instagram are all like, how dare you launder Nick Land's reputation and all this stuff. It's like, they're skewering these people.
Yeah.
Sensing a loss of energy, Wolf signals that it's time for one final question, and a torrent of hands shoots up. Sam's is among them. Sam Venice. Both of you are on stage because you created the Dark Enlightenment, an ideology which was very potent at a certain moment. Now, though, I'm not sure if that moment has passed, but it's changed. How, then, do you both feel the concept has evolved, and how do you see it evolving further?
Good question.
Unsurprisingly, Yarvin responds first. The Dark Enlightenment, he says, was responding to a various set of different utopias. Maybe it's a conservative utopia. Maybe it's a liberal utopia. But it's all the same teleology. This dream of a place that we're going, and these progressive movements have, of course, moments of disillusionment, such as with the George Floyd hangover or with Occupy Wall Street. These people had a millenarian worldview that failed. And even on the right, there were these fantasies of like restoring the 18th century that were the second, that was the second Tea Party. Never mind, the original Tea Party was basically Antifa. Do you like that, Sean?
Well, yeah, I fucking love it.
And then their whole dream...
Yarvin does say something that I think is kind of true.
And then their whole dream turned into the shit show that was January 6th. I'm surprised he calls it a shit show.
Yeah, yeah.
What we see now is that these visions of the future have become nullified, and rather than a history ending in the Fukuyama sense, instead, nobody has any clear idea of where we're going, and that inevitably allows for much more interesting, more radical ideas to spread.
Okay.
Land nods. I agree with a lot of what Curtis said, but really, I still firmly believe the unqualified reservations model of government, a neo-cameralist system that treats government as a sovereign corporation owned by shareholders, is completely unsurpassed.
Sure.
And it should be absolutely fantastic to have a world shattered into a patchwork of microstates and to have new modes of geopolitical experimentation open up. But I don't think in the short term anyone is seeing that now. And that concludes the talk.
Wow. Incredible stuff. Part of me, you know, an older part of me, maybe like a more naive part of me, naive leftist part of me, is like, well, these ideas, like, how do you counter these ideas? How do you come up with like a way to make your own ideas more important and more sexy than the, but like the people that they're even addressing, it's just, I find it completely uninteresting to like convince them of anything. Who the fuck are they? They're like fellow travelers in the Silicon Valley tech world. They're like dime square jerk offs who are like fucking doing cocaine in downtown.
It seems like they're like people that want to have their business models confirmed in some way by by these like mysterious dark intellectuals who will tell them like, oh yeah, your WorldCoin iris scanning satanic thing is actually the future. But what I think is so interesting about this article is that they both seem really black-pilled.
Yeah.
And just to finish, one last quote from this article, the writer goes outside and he meets Justin Murphy.
Oh, God. That guy's such a
guy I actually know.
Oh, you know him? Yeah. Wow, he's a real dweeb, huh?
Host of the Other Life podcast and the author of Based Deleuze.
Oh, God.
Who reinterprets the French philosopher's ideas as a reactionary leftism. And he says, they confuse me. They're always so negative. God, everything used to be so much worse. And now look where we are. We've got AI. We've got crypto. We've got power.
Got it all.
The siege mentality is over. Woke is dead and gone. In fact, tonight probably marks the end of the dissident right. What do you mean by that? Sam asks. Well, what more is there? We've done everything.
Woke is dead and gone, he says, as the entire joke around this event is like a joke upon woke.
Exactly.
It's like you can't even have your own meeting without fucking referencing wokeism.
They
fools.
They've had their revolution. They're in power. And they're sucks. Like, oh, wait, what was supposed to be better?
This is the problem of petite bourgeois grifters, though, and has always been and will always be. This goes back at least 250 fucking years.
These dog people catches the car.
They won when they picked someone to represent them that they didn't even put in power. Other people did.
Yeah.
And they think that because they threw their name behind it, they've won something. No, they haven't run shit. I mean, like, okay, they got AI. They didn't do it. They got,
Trump. They didn't do that either.
They didn't do Trump. They got a stock market that defeated woke? It became less useful for the Democratic Party
and corporations. Yeah.
Yeah. What did they do? I mean, I actually said this. I did this whole thing about Tim Pool and the boot a couple weeks ago.
Oh, right.
And he was like, and I'm just like, you know, these people think that they're wearing the boot because they threw their name behind some guy. Because what they actually want is their impossible, stupid dilettante projects to last forever. Yeah.
That's the source of their influence and their money, right? Are these dilettante projects?
The intellectual petite bourgeoisie are some of the most useless people on the goddamn planet.